Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ah, Clint Sterner run the show, Hughley filling in, B-Mac producing this bad boy. And yes, I am joined by the coolest dude in Houston, Mr. Wonderful, Clint Sterner. How you doing today, baby?
Man, look here, if I was any better, I'd need a twin show. If I was any better, I would need a twin, and I don't think, I know the Dirty Bay ain't ready for two of these bad boys. Come on.
Hey, life didn't hit you hard real quick on your boy over here. It's a little different, man. My wife got me doing laundry in between these breaks. This is how we are in life. I got to remember to switch these whites over during this next break.
Let me know if you need to take a segment off. I'll call one of my buddies or something. We'll knock a seg out for you.
This is how it's done a little different. You got we're doing laundry while we're at the station.
when you're locked in the house, boy, mama will get you. She'll keep you busy, man.
Yeah, you got time? How long them breaks? 5 minutes? You can switch over to clothes.
No problem.
I'm different than you, man. I mean, you're gonna have to help your boy out, man. You got to pick me up, man. Clint. This is generally one of my favorite days of the year. And understanding why, and it is the right call, obviously, but today is supposed to be opening day.
Yes.
And opening day, Clint, is one of my favorite days of the year in baseball. I love everybody's into it. I'm so sad that today I'm not halfway drunk right now, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, man. Last year, I eased down to Minute Maid Park. I think Sean Pendergast had his show going on at a place called Little Woodrow's, and they got a nice little their outdoor patio area stretches from one street, and then you can enter from the front and exit the back, so there's a lot of flow through there. It's wide open, so there's some wind. Man, hey, there's people. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people down there. We ended up with a great table and had an unbelievable time. I was looking forward to what opening day this week. Obviously, we'd have done our show from down there because, you know, Sports Radio 610, we're always in the middle of the party. We would have definitely done our show that from down there. But I had my whole day planned out, man.
Oh, hell.
I had my whole day planned out. All black Astro gear. I told you about that. All black Astro gear.
You ain't tell me, but I ain't seen that. I got to look that. All black?
I'm going all black Astro gear. Black hat, black logo, 5950 with the black Astro. Black tee with the black Astro logo on the front of it. Yeah, it's going. That's
that
how it's going
clean.
Down. Yo, that's going to be real clean. You know, they're the black sheep of the league right now.
Everybody wants to poke fun.
So, I was going down with that. What I would normally do, show, is I would take, and you'd fit right in with this, I'd take about four or five of my crew from over here in Baytown. All the women, they'd want to stick around here because they can't handle that long, long, long opening day. But I'd take about four or five of my buddies, and we'd ease down there, and we'd ease down to Little Woodrow's, jump on with Sean and them for a little while, which in this case it would be Landry Locker and them for a little while, have a couple of pops, and rub elbows with all the Houston Astro fans from all over the city. And then it would come time to crank up our show from two to six, and our show would lead right up to the first pitch. And then I would definitely have purchased me two nice tickets, one for myself and one for my lovely lady. She could slide in late, have a couple of pops, and go to the game, man. Damn it, it was going to be a good one.
Oh, I think it's across the country, man, and everybody loves this, especially how anticipated this season was going to be here in Houston. It was going to be a big deal. I'm telling you, man, it's a tradition for me. I think you fit in with the old NBN crew, the Nasty by Nature crew, Clint. We get in, you know. I got a beer pong table that I fold up like a briefcase that I keep in my trunk at all times. I'm ready to go all the time. Cups, balls.
Wait, you take that to the game?
I take it to the game, Clint. It's always in my trunk. I'm always ready.
Oh, carry it with you. Like that's you, like that's part of the family. Like you, the wife, and the three kiddos.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Only time it comes out is when I gotta put them strollers back there. But outside of that, no. I keep it. Cups and balls, I'm ready to go. I got my table has my name engraved on it. I'm serious about it, Clint. We go out, man, I get three sheets to the wind. I mean, we play, I don't know, 150 games, get out there early, get all them pops in us and get us going. And I'll get the grill out there, put some dogs, some chickens, some bratwurst. I'm getting mad right now. See, I told you.
You're getting worked up on it right now. Well, look, man, it's opening day. It's opening day. We can at least talk about it. We can reminisce about it. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Now, what we'd have to throw a little boudin on that thing once down here in Houston with my crew, though. We got to throw a little boudin on there.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to need you to explain that to.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, show. I've met you a few times. I've been to dinner with you a few times. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you'd like it. I'm going to say you ain't going to throw it away, my man.
Oh, it's food.
You ain't going to throw it away.
No, that's not a drive-by when it's true.
not a drive-by at all. It's true, 100% true. So I guarantee you'd ask for more, baby.
What is it? You just can't tell me to try. What is it?
Well, you can get all kind of different kinds of boudin, but it's like a sausage. So it's in an intestine like a sausage.
Oh, but yes, Casey.
You can get pork. You can get chicken. You get all kind of boudin nowadays. Pork is my go-to, but it's got rice. It's got all kind of Cajun spices in it too. So I mean, it's just the real deal now. It's the real deal. You can pick and choose what kind of meat you want to put in it.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, man. Yeah, look here. It's some sausage. Some people put sausage in there, depending on. I mean, it's. Yeah, man. You can do it. You can do all kinds. But yeah, we'll get you. We'll get you.
That's
caught,
right.
Caught up to speed on all that.
Yeah, let me do that. I'll bring some burnt ends, and we can go to town on that, man. But yeah, man, this is a great day on the American sports calendar. It's opening day everywhere. It doesn't matter. And I've lived, Clint, with a team that has stunk for 30 years. But opening day, the whole parking lot's full. The host, everybody feels good. Everybody's missing work. Skipping school, man, it is a wonderful time and sorely missed.
I'm with you. I had big hopes. I had big plans, and it's down the drain. Hey, I tell you something, no show. I want to play something for you and the city of Houston. I come across this earlier. Are you a big PJ Fleck fan?
Come on, man. We saw PJ Fleck when he was here, and how he just mesmerized and had us at the palm of his hand.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw his wife.
I forgot. Oh, yeah, we saw his wife.
Yeah, we saw his wife.
Oh, man. Hey, but so PJ Fleck was on one of the TV shows this morning, and I just when I heard his message, I was like, man, I got to get it to the people. I got to get it to my man's show. I got to get B-Mac to hear it. He's just top notch, man. Look, we're in some hard times right now, obviously, across the country, regardless of where you're from. It's tough times right now. It's tough sledding right now. There's no doubt about it. And here is a message from the University of Minnesota's head football coach, PJ Fleck. Here's a message to our country, and Houston, you just got to hear this.
Yeah, that's P.J. Fleck on with Pat McAfee. And you know, and this is a guy who was serious, man, because this guy has been through adversity. He's lost a child. And when he says stuff like this, as he's spoken about this, I've seen him speak. We got to see him speak live a couple months ago. This is a guy who has been through adversity, and he lives and walks it, right? This ain't a guy that's just talking. Yes, I mean, what we're talking about with the coronavirus is bad. This is a man who's lost a child and has spun back around and is living what he's talking.
Yeah, man. Look, this is a guy I want to be in his huddle, man. I mean, when it's all said and done, I want to be in his huddle. But when I heard it, I was like, show. I got to get it to show. I know I had forgot that you and I had seen P.J. Fleck in person that night at
the Coaches Awards. The Bear Bryant Awards.
Bear Bryant Coaches Awards, yeah. But, yeah, man, when he spit that out there, I was like, come on, man. That's got to make it today, baby.
You love people banding together and people. I was reading a story the other day that like 40,000 retired nurses and doctors in New York are volunteering now to try to help give their services. And then this one today, man, I know you heard this about your guy, Drew Brees. He sent out a tweet earlier. Brittany, his wife, and I are committing $5 million to the state of Louisiana in 2020. The priority is to help our communities get through this tough time. At $5 million, man, I don't care how much money you done made, Clint. $5 million, man, that's given a lot, and we're just seeing a lot of people band together in these tough times, which we always do.
That's giving it back right there. And look, he must have got up this morning and heard P.J. Flex spit that little moment of truth right there. And he felt so inclined to give $5 million to the state of Louisiana. So, we're in some difficult times, Houston. We all know that. We're feeling it with you, man. And as Show has said multiple times, hopefully we can bring you just a little break from if it's a monotony around the home or if you've been affected in a more negative way to where there's some problems within the family. Hopefully we can bring you just a little bit of moment of get your mind off of it and get you through the day, man. So we're here for you, and we look forward to spending the next 4 hours with you.
Yeah, and the best way to get to catch us is go ahead and download that radio.com app. Download it to your phone and go ahead and search Sports Radio 610, and you'll be able to hear us all day long, and hopefully – We can, as Clint was saying, break up the monotony, bring some normalcy to your life. Coming up, all right, Daniel Jeremiah is one of the most keyed-in guys in the NFL, a former scout, worked in front offices, the Ravens, I know he did, one of those great
college
organizations.
College quarterback.
Yes, that's right. NFL Network now he works with. He is going to join us next, and we're going to get the latest on the Houston Texans and then the Houston Texans in the draft. We'll get to that next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley filling in. We're here with you till 6 o'clock. We are awaiting Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. I didn't know he was a former college quarterback. Where did he play? Uh-oh. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here. I didn't know he played ball. Where did he play ball at?
Yeah, at Louisiana Monroe. In Louisiana, he started somewhere else, like Middle Tennessee, or I can't remember exactly where he. I can't remember.
That's
where
I went to college. I don't think he went there.
It may not have been there, but he ended up at Louisiana Monroe is where him and I crossed paths in college.
Oh, okay, yeah. Daniel Jeremiah, he's just keyed in.
We played them boys. We played them boys in.
Y'all beat Louisiana Monroe, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, we beat Louisiana Monroe. Don't go talking trash though.
I'm not talking trash. I'm just making sure y'all beat. Yeah. That's a team that you should beat. Daniel Jeremiah, who we just who's joining us on the NFL Network. He's an analyst there, and you can find him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. Daniel is a host of Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. Daniel, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, and maybe to give us maybe a more of a national perspective. We talked to a few. Still, we're reeling from the Hopkins trade. What for you is the most surprising part of that trade?
How much time do you guys have?
We got about 3.5.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Put your toes up. I just said that.
No, I mean, it was bizarre. all the way around. I mean, not getting a first round pick is probably the first thing I would point to. Taking the entirety of David Johnson's contract would be the second thing I would point to. It was out of left field. It totally caught me off guard. I understand if you're at an impasse on doing a new contract and, you know, if you decide you want to go in another direction, I understand that with the depth of the receiver class, not necessarily going to find DeAndre Hopkins, but you can find some good players. But the return on the trade just didn't make any sense to me. And that's what I can't wrap my head around. And for those main two factors, not getting a one. And then even if you like David Johnson, which, you know, that's a debate, but there's no reason you should have had to take on the entirety of that contract. You should have made Arizona pay for at least a good chunk of that.
DJ, with the way that transaction worked out, the way that the Clowney deal went down at the last minute last year, I know a lot of people couldn't find a way to like the Tunsil deal because there was the two first rounders involved. With all that you've seen from the Houston Texans, man, are you concerned with how they're conducting business, being the fact that Bill O'Brien has the two titles of the head coach and the GM?
Yeah, I think it's a lot. And I know they've got other people that are helping out there, but I think it's too much for one guy. And I the one thing I didn't have a problem with of all the stuff you mentioned, you know, I think they could have fetched a little bit more from Clowney, but that one, you know, I don't love that one, but I'm okay with it. I thought getting Laremy Tunsil was a smart thing to do. The thing that wasn't smart was not working out the contract situation. So, you know, I don't have a problem giving up the two ones if you consider both those ones are going to be, you know, more than likely in the 20s. You're not going to find a player like Laremy Tunsil to protect your franchise quarterback in that area of the draft. So I'm okay with that one. But again, it was just the details. You got to get that contract done before you finalize the deal. And they didn't do that. And now they're in a tough spot because you talk about leverage. Nobody has leverage like Laremy Tunsil has leverage.
Oh, that's interesting. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL network analyst. I'm curious, just real quick on the DeAndre Hopkins. You said he didn't get fair value, the one, David Johnson and Panic. What, just for us to understand, what should have been the compensation for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins?
To me, I think you're looking at, you know, you're starting with a one and a three would probably be the place that I would start. And you're hoping maybe there's a situation where you can get some more sugar, as I like to call it, on top of the deal, which would mean, you know, maybe it's you get a one and a three, maybe you give up a five and you get back another three next year, you know. But you hope to get a combination of three good picks. And maybe that results in you parting with one along the way. But to me, the big thing is just it's got to start with a one and a three. That's where we begin.
DJ, you're an old quarterback, man. You and I crossed paths back in the day. Me and Show were talking about it before you came on, man. And there's obviously a young quarterback that's right in the middle of all of the things that we've mentioned about the Houston Texans right now. Just your thoughts on how the Hopkins move impacts Watson for right now, as well as long-term fit in Houston for Deshaun Watson.
Well, I don't think, you know, all this stuff that's happened, I still, you know, I can't envision a scenario where Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of this team for a long time. I mean, you try and repair that as best you can with losing Hopkins. And one way you can do that is go out and get him some help with these second round picks, go in there and bring in some guys that can add to this offense. But, you know, I know he probably was frustrated, and obviously by some of the rap lyrics he was tweeting out. You can read into that however you will, but I think this would be something that will smooth out over time. And Bill O'Brien's got to hope that he's the one that's able to do that, but he's put himself, you know, put the bullseye right on himself to see what happens this next year. If this next year, they don't go to the playoffs after the aggressive and bold decisions that were made, I'm sure that Bill O'Brien would have to answer for that, but I don't envision any scenario where Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of this team for a very long time.
That's interesting. So you don't even see a place where he could just say, I'm just so fed up with this organization right now that I will just wait it out until I have the control to be able to move on if I want to. You don't even see that as a possibility.
No. You know, the challenge is with the new CBA that was just agreed upon, the language in there is not very forgiving for guys that hold out and don't show up. So guys aren't going to do it. They're not going to sacrifice their type of stand. That's money they're never going to get back. So you don't have the leverage of being able to hold out. They have the leverage of being able to extend this out franchise and franchise again if they want. I'm not saying that it's relationship with Deshaun Watson for the next decade plus, but Deshaun Watson ain't going anywhere.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. DJ, before we jump into the draft, which I know you're chomping at the bit to get to, I do have one more question for the Texans, and it's just the move that we've been discussing with Hopkins essentially is the big move. They also signed Randall Cobb, kept some guys in-house. Do you feel – I'm concerned the Texans haven't made enough noise at this point in free agency on the defensive side of the football, because they need some help on the – some serious help on the defensive side of the football. Are you concerned at all, and is there anybody out there – that you think could help the Texans in free agency?
Well, there's not a whole heck of a lot out there. You know, I heard there's this guy, Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
DJ.
I'm just messing with you. no, there's not. It's pretty picked over. But we'll see what happens. There's always a trade market, too. You'd see what could pop free. You know, once the draft takes place, that's, you know, tends to pry some veterans free as well once those positions are so there's still another couple waves of this thing, but right in front of them right now, it's about finding a way to ace the draft. I mean, that's their best opportunity to improve their football team. But I'm with you defensively. There are significant holes on this roster right now, and you lost a darn good defensive tackle that I don't know many people around the country pay much attention to. But man, he was tough to move inside. So that was DJ Reader is not somebody that's easy to replace, in my opinion.
Daniel, you speak of DJ Reader. We've talked about Hopkins, and they did get a second-round pick for this year, so they have two twos. Like, how do you see what they've done in the offseason thus far? How do you see that affecting the draft in terms of what should be the things that they should be going after?
Well, I mean, I'm not a betting man. Hypothetically, if I was, if one of those two second rounders is not a receiver, I'll be shocked. So I mean, I think that's one area they can address right there. You know, I don't know if you can count on Fuller to stay healthy. I love his game, but you just can't count on him. I think Randall Cobb's a good player, but I think they may be overpaid a little bit for him. Kenny Stills is a nice deep threat, but I still think trying to find somebody that can play above the rim and replace that physicality that you lost at the receiver position is a way I would think they would go with one of those two picks. And they still need work at corner. You need another pass rusher as well. So there's about five needs you need to solve with two picks. So maybe the answer is you trade one of those picks back a little bit and try and get some more picks.
DJ, we got a me and show got a little bet. We got a little side bet here on Justin Herbert. Before we get into Justin Herbert, talk to me a little bit about the quarterback, the top quarterbacks in general. Tua's little video that he put out the other day, which was awesome, by the way. Great to see that guy moving. If you've ever, which you have, DJ, if you've ever taken a drop and move like that, you understand that's putting a lot of torque and pressure on your hips in order to do it the way that he's doing it. So that was impressive. But talk us through the top three or four quarterbacks in this year's draft real quick.
Yeah, sure. To me, I think there's the top two, then there's a little bit of a gap. So I have Burrow and then Tua. Burrow is just, you know, obviously he's healthy. You start there. But decision-making, accuracy, poise, pocket awareness, they're at an elite level. He does not have a huge arm, but he doesn't need to throw with anticipation, timing, and touch. And I think he's outstanding. And then Tua, I was glad to see that well. The question with him is not going to be, can you get him up to 100%? The question is going to be, what's the likelihood of recurrence with this hip? And that's where you got to rely on your medical people. But both those guys, I imagine, you know, Burrow's going to be the first pick. Tua more than likely probably will be a trade-up situation to the third pick with Detroit, which would be either the Dolphins at 5 or the Chargers at 6. And then you get to the next group, which is Herbert and then Love, and it's a floor-ceiling debate. Justin Herbert, higher floor. You're not going to miss on him. You know, kind of a steady Eddie, but not a real playmaker. And then Jordan Love is a higher ceiling, lower floor. So there's risk there. He did not play as well this year, but, man, he's probably the most natural thrower. Like, if you want to just have the NFL version of the three-point contest and just watch Jordan Love's as pure as it gets.
Well, help us out here, Daniel, real quick before we let you go. We got a bet, a stake bet, a real stake, not some cheap stuff, a real stake bet that Justin Herbert, I believe he's going to go into the top 10. Clint does not. Where do you see him fitting?
Ooh, I'll say I do believe he will go in the top 10.
Let's go.
I'm not saying I would take him in the top 10 because he is, as we sit right now, a month out from the draft, Justin Herbert is my 20th overall player. So I don't view him as a top 10 talent, but I think he'll be a top 10 pick.
Thank you, Daniel. Fantastic. Daniel Jeremiah always gets things right, and I believe he got that right as well. Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, well, DJ, you ain't getting no damn invite to dinner.
We'll press on.
Thank you, man. Have a good one. That's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, and you can follow him once again on at Move the Sticks, and he also is the host of a podcast with Bucky Brooks, also called at Move the Sticks. I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you, Clint, somebody's going to be stupid enough to do it. I'm telling you.
Look, see, when you phrase it like that, I'll give you a little bit of a cut right there. I'll buy you a steak and enjoy it.
I'm telling you, somebody is going to panic. And the Los Angeles Chargers, once they don't get to it, screams panic.
They're going to have that damn Mariota. They're going to have the next Marcus Mariota, big, good-looking sucker, boy. He can sling that thing, but don't ask him to throw that damn bubble.
Hold on, man. It ain't good when Daniel Jeremiah says he's got a good floor, but he's not a playmaker.
Hey, did you hear him talk about that Jordan Love, though? That Jordan Love. He is. That's a perfect analogy. It's like Steph Curry from behind a three-point line. Like, everybody can shoot from back there. Everybody don't look like that when they do it. You know what I mean? Yep. And that's Jordan Love. He's right. He's hitting it on the head on that one now.
We got to get to this, Clint. Deshaun Watson is tweeting again. He's tweeting again, and I'm gonna tease you a little bit. I'm gonna make you wait before y'all get your thoughts on that. We'll get into what these tweets from your quarterback Deshaun Watson means coming up next. Clint Sterner on the show, Hughley B-Mac producing this bad boy. Much thanks to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network for joining us. He always does a great job, and I just found out my man was a quarterback. And I'm glad you took the high road, Clint, and didn't let him know, because I almost took the time to look up the score of that game when y'all played Louisiana Monroe. I don't feel like it was close. And it's nice of you not to rub that in, because that's your
we didn't beat up especially back in 97. We weren't very good, but we didn't typically beat up on the. We played all those Louisiana schools, ULM, of course, Louisiana State. The LSU was in our conference, but we played Southwest Louisiana. We played Louisiana Tech back in Tim Rattay's day. They always had some good ones, man. They had some good ones back in the day. So we never did beat up on them in an embarrassing fashion. They were always a tough-ass game. And DJ, I had it backwards. DJ went to Louisiana Monroe, and then he transferred to Appalachian State and started 2 years at Appalachian State. So he danced around a little bit, but started at two different universities. Yeah, man, good dude. He got our defense that day beat him up pretty good. He let me know that last time.
All right, man. I do got to get your thoughts on this, man. I got to stop looking at Deshaun Watson's tweets, because he has me thinking, oh, what the hell is he talking about? Earlier in the week, he set everybody off, and it was a national story about him quoting Drake talking about duos being ripped from the seams. Then this was late, towards the end of our show. He tweeted out, which I don't know what it means, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up? And then later, never take advice from a person who don't love you. You got to walk light, and you got to stay above water. I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, it's lyrics again. You got one of them's lyrics. One of them's, they believe it's Lil Uzi Vert. You know who that is?
No, yes, I do. I know it's lyrics, but I don't know what the hell he's meaning by what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
I ain't gonna sit here and act like I've been listening to Lil Uzi Vert. Now I ain't doing it, but I know who it is, and their lyrics and show. Man, I think, and again, you know, I take things too serious, and I tend to dig in probably a little deeper than I probably should on these kind of things. But I think we're getting to a point where, with Deshaun Watson, that taking that next step that you and I discussed over the last couple of days from a development and a maturity standpoint, I think it's critical that he takes that next step and he makes that move. And things like this, regardless of what his intentions are at some point in time going to be not in his best interest. You know what I mean? I mean, we're living in 2020 and these cats are on social media, and we as media, we dig into the lyrics of something maybe a little deeper than they should. But to me, when you're Deshaun Watson, right? If it is indeed a message that you're wanting to send, then at some point in time, Deshaun Watson's got to pick up the phone and talk to the coach or talk to the organization about it versus tweeting something, right? And if you're simply throwing lyrics out and just having a good time with it, which you may very well be doing, then you've got to really be careful of what the media is going to do with that information that you put out there. Not that you should give a rip, not that you should give a damn what anybody thinks, either way. But I believe that there's certain situations where guys are powerful enough, like Deshaun Watson is. He's carrying a big stroke, whether he realizes it or not. That sucker's got some power now. And at some point in time, I just think things like this may be allowed to go too far.
Come on now, listen. This ain't no coincidence, right, Clint?
I agree with
you. Right, you know what I mean? I mean, we can go with it. Is it plausible that maybe he was just happened to be listening to those lyrics from earlier this week with Drake and these, and he happened to tweet them out? It's plausible. I'm not willing to make a bet that it's a coincidence. I think there is some reason behind it, and it is a tad. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, Clint. It is a tad bit disappointing because I understand what you're saying, but there is one position, and you played it. You played in the league, and you got to watch one of the guys who knew in Troy Aikman his role, what kind of stick he played, and everything he said and did and what it could mean. When you are the quarterback of the team, you have to be, as you've heard me say, the adult in the room. You have to be the mature one. You have to be cognizant of everything that you're doing and how it can affect everything, right? And it's a tad bit disappointing because now he is somebody who is making this story much bigger than it has to be, right? I always looked at Deshaun Watson, and the thing that I loved about him was his maturity. He's somebody I never have to worry about. He's somebody who I think is going to make right decisions. When I look at him and Baker Mayfield, I'm like, all right, Baker's a little less mature. I don't know what I'm going to get all the time out of Baker, especially when adversity hits. And Deshaun, I'm not saying Deshaun's Baker. Just these things right here are making the story bigger than actually bringing it down. And when you're the quarterback, I think the rules are different in terms of maturity than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, and I think you get a hall pass for the original tweet. You know what I mean? The ripping apart of the seams right after the DeAndre Hopkins. I think everybody can. There is a human element to these guys, and I think everybody can relate to that and say, "Hey, look, he's feeling some kind of way about the fact his organization let DeAndre Hopkins out of the building." But as you said, now you've had time to sit around and think about it, and anything that doesn't smooth the waters for your organization moving forward ultimately impacts your ability to win football games. And so when it's all said and done, we've talked multiple times about the maturity of Deshaun Watson and what has to happen. And I don't care what the last few tweets have been about, whether it was just lyrics or not, or if it, there was actual intentions behind it. It doesn't matter to me. I think, as you said, when you're the quarterback of the organization and you're the face of the franchise, I think that even if it's just lyrics, you've got to have the wherewithal to go, you know what, if I hit send, then the entire Houston media, at the very least, some of the national guys are going to catch on to this thing, and they're going to create a narrative that may or may not be true, and ultimately it could impact this team's ability to win games. It could impact this team's ability to attract free agents. It could impact this team's ability, you know, to win games in the future. And so it's just one of those deals where when I saw it, I was like, all right, D, it's time to make that move, bro. It's time to take that next step and go in the mature, more developed, more professional, take that route rather than the young cat in 2020 that's a quarterback that's fixing to make a big time contract.
Come on, Clint, man. We know people who talk indirectly on Facebook or Twitter over the years where, you know, you read that, you know who that's meant for. Yes. Like, you know who that's meant for. And it's like,
Back in my MySpace days, I'd put a song on that joint, sending a message to somebody.
When I was in college, sent out them Facebook messages, and when my boy Steve would text me, man, hey man, who are you talking to? Who is that message for? Hey man, chill out, man. Quit subtweet. Quit, chill out, man. Making that, because that's what that was. That's what that was. I'm like, everybody knows. Nah, come on, man. You just now pulled this lyric out. Listen, like you said, I want to give space to the human element, because there is a human element sometimes, and he's still young. But one of the things that was so special about him is he had the Derek Jeter, you know, the Kobe type of, yeah, man, the late Kobe, like, I know this guy's taking every step. You know, he's taking the right step and making the right moves. And you just didn't see things like this. This is like one of the first moments for me personally that I've seen, like, him kind of surprise me with his maturity.
I mean, when I look at it, man, I just think it's time though, Show. I mean, you know what I mean? The more I thought about our conversations yesterday about Deshaun Watson, I was like, you know what? We hit the nail on the head when we were like, you know, moving forward, whether Deshaun Watson is with the Houston Texans or not, the only way he's going to get to where he wants to be is if he takes more control. We had Warren Moon on a couple of weeks ago. Hell, you and I did. It's one of those where he even said it. Okay, it's time for Deshaun Watson to take control of his future, essentially. And this is a very small but important part of what we're talking about. You know, I mean, in order to be able to walk in and demand things within the organization, you got to conduct your business in a certain kind of way. And I just think that it's not a bad thing that these tweets are out there and that Deshaun's having to live through this. But it's just at some point in his career, whether it's now or it's in a month or it's in 2 years, at some point he's got to take that next step if he wants to get to that championship level of quarterback play.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610. You're locked and loaded live right here, man. I was looking at the Chronicle. I don't know if you saw this story, man. Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, one of the better GMs in the league. He had some comments about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. He said this in a morning conference called this morning. He said the Cardinals ultimately sent a second and fourth round pick to the Texans, but he said that they weren't, all the teams weren't given the same deal or the same chance to give the deal that the Cardinals were able to give. So basically he said that in discussions with the Texans, they had a different offer to them than they did with the Cardinals, which is kind of goes to your theory about how you feel maybe that was the best the best offer on the table.
Yeah, so, you know, when that thing first came out, I was like, you're full of it. Like, I mean, that's a BS response. There is no way on God's green earth that was the best deal that you could get, that you could have received for DeAndre Hopkins. And the Texans came out with, I believe it was a statement, and said that was the best deal that they were offered.
They said it through Ed Warner.
They leaked it through Ed Warner, right?
Yep.
So you know, you come out with that and you're like, come on, man, that ain't it. And then we have guys like Daniel Jeremiah on the show, and they're like, the most disgusting part of the trade is that you couldn't at the very least get a first rounder. It's just the details and the things that fall through the cracks, and that they're unacceptable. And to me, this whole Eagles GM discussing the fact that the Texans had different terms in trade discussions, whether it was with the Cardinals or another team, it was not the same conversations being had. Just goes to tell you that there ain't a whole lot of truth to that was the best offer that the Texans could get.
Unless, Clinton, they just coveted David Johnson. I mean, that is the only thing that is they really wanted David Johnson.
Yeah, but they, so, even if they did, brother, they're still, I mean, the Cardinals would already, I mean, I think they'd already publicly said that they're not going to be able to get rid of him and his contract, and that they were going to have to eat part of his contract. That was already open conversations before the Texans ever dropped this bomb on Houston in terms of trading DeAndre Hopkins. That, I mean, it's just inexcusable. If you are in love with David Johnson, then I mean, damn, I mean, cool your jets just a little bit to where you at least get the best deal that you can get for the guy.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you would be in love with David Johnson, and we'll see this upcoming season. I just say that in terms of maybe a team like the Eagles would have given a first-round pick, but maybe they just – only thing that would make any understanding of it, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, is that instead of a first-round pick, they really coveted David Johnson and wanted to pay his salary, and that's how much they coveted him. I just thought, because that's the only thing.
You can't even say that without laughing at yourself.
I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying it seems to me that either they just this is what it seems to me, Clint. They either openly searched to get the worst deal they possibly could get, or they really, 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 really wanted David Johnson. And that, because David Johnson's to me why they didn't get better picks, right? Like, because they threw a player,
right?
They threw the player in. So I just, my thinking is they really, really, and we had the Hall of Famer, John McClain, on, who will be on with us in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow. He said that Bill O'Brien has always really liked David Johnson. And that's the only thing that would, I don't know. That's it.
That's all you got. That's all you got.
It's the David Johnson.
Look here. Somewhere in Pearland, Victor is heated up, boy. He's trying to come through that screen at you right now, big dog.
Why? I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just saying, David, this has to be David Johnson. I bet David Johnson better put together a 1,300-yard season. I'm telling you.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying this is where they are, man. I don't even understand it. All right, coming up, I'm really excited for this. We understand so many things are going on, and we just want to take a little time out to maybe see how things are being affected around the city of Houston in terms of how the coronavirus. We're going to have one of the COO, Executive Vice President of Landry Restaurants, one of the top places that those restaurants in Houston. And we're going to have him join us coming up on the other side to maybe discuss maybe some things that they're going through and how we can help them as a city to jump back on board. Keith is going to join us coming up next. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.